Morning, everybody. I guess this morning, which is a holiday, secular holiday, we were able to be mekayim hanoisin lasechvi vino mamish. So hopefully everybody will keep awake. They'll remind us to keep awake. As you see, all these different types of birds. Some are chickens. Today we have the opportunity to research and look into different types of birds to see if we can use them as kosher birds. Kosher birds, as you know, requires a mesorah, a tradition. And today we have research into these different types of birds and also animals to see if we can use it in the food chain. Might be very appropriate, perhaps today, when there's a meat shortage, so the more species we find that we can use, that'll alleviate perhaps some of the meat shortage. But anyway, there's a din oif b'mesoira. That's the Gemara says. Amar Rab Yitzchok oif tohar nechal b'mesoiris. What does a mesoiris mean? Does not necessarily mean it's a mesoira. It's a tradition from Sinai. Rashi says, im zochar hu ba'odom koshe sha'ochloi oishe mosoloi rabbi oitzayid chochem shu'tor. If a person reminds himself that he saw a choshviyid, an upright person who ate this particular bird, that's sufficient, that's enough. You can rely on that. That's mesoiris. That's enough. That's how Rashi learns. Or if you have, your Rebbe told you that you can eat this bird, or the tzayid, one who is a hunter, and he's knowledgeable, he knows all the names of all the different of the birds that are tmeim. There are 24 types of birds. If he's knowledgeable in that, he's a baki in that, then you can rely on him, and you're permitted to eat that bird. Today, we can't rely on that. On the tzayid, because he's required to know all of the 24 types of birds that are not permitted to be eaten, they're tome, and the names of those birds are not really known today. They changed from what they were, perhaps. We can't be sure, and therefore that's something we can't rely on today. However, we can rely on an Odom Kosher who did eat these birds. That we can rely on. Generally speaking, in the slaughterhouses we have here, the names that they refer to them are a little different than what is referred to by the scientific names, perhaps. The birds that they call today are called cobs, the cob bird, the Hubbard bird, and of course the egg-laying birds, which are the leghorns. So those are the birds that we use today, besides the turkey. Perhaps later you'll hear about the turkey. But these birds have been passed on to us from dur, and everybody has been eating of them, and therefore it's considered we have a Messiah on them, and therefore we're permitted to eat them. There's a story I've heard in the name of Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Zochrein of the Vrocha, when at the beginnings when he founded the Lakewood Yeshiva, and it was Kaporis time. At that time was a small yeshiva, and everybody gathered in one room for the Kaporis. They called down a shoychet. This was in the early 40s, 43, 44. In the town of Lakewood, I guess, there was a butcher shop, and how did butcher shop sell his poultry? Because he had a shoychet on the premises. He had his own shoychet who shechted the chicken, and that's how poultry was sold. He called down the shoychet, and the shoychet brought two chickens, two white chickens, a zocher and a keva. There were women there too, and they passed around the chicken, one chicken for everybody, over everybody's head. Rabaran came into the room, and he looked at the chickens, and he told the shoychet, he asked him, "Is that a kosher chicken?" So the shoychet said, "Of course, that's a kosher chicken." And Rabaran said, "In the Haim, in Europe, this was not a chicken. We didn't see such chickens. The chickens look different." So the shoychet, who was a belzer chosid and had a sharp mind, he pointed to a yeshiva bocher. Of course, in those days, most yeshiva bocherim, even chassidish, didn't have beards. They didn't have payas like today. Many of them do. Some do, some don't, but al-Kaponim, in those days, virtually nobody had. Those days, it was before the black hatters. In fact, everybody wore gray hats and gray suits. So the shoychet pointed to yeshiva bocher and asked Rabaran, "Is that a yeshiva bocher?" So Rabaran said, "Certainly, of course that's a yeshiva bocher." He says, "In the Haim, in Europe, that wouldn't be yeshiva bocher. In Europe, that would, yeshiva bocher, the bed and payas, except in Litta, but not the..." That was the perception of the sheikh. He said, "In America, this is a chicken. That's the American chicken. Just like this is yeshiva bocher in America, in America, this is a chicken." And the truth is that in different countries, just like people look different, the Gemara says, why is a Chinaman's eyes slanted? Because of the sun. Why is this person black? So the Gemara has different reasons. In different countries, people look a little different. So the same is true with the animals, with chickens. Each country has its own characteristics, which has an influence on the way people grow, the influence somewhat on the way people look. You can tell a person many times from what country he is by his appearance. So the same is true in the animal kingdom. So even though the chickens here might look slightly different than they did in other places, but nevertheless, that is the chicken. And that's a kosher chicken. There are different, as you see here, as we mentioned, different types of birds. And we do have to be careful whenever we see perhaps a shinui, a difference in the appearance of these birds or these animals. And we do have to examine it carefully. Especially the Ashkenazim, we paskin like the Ramah, that birds are only eaten b'mesoiris. We don't eat birds, but relying on the simonim itself. That is what the Ramah says. The Pshuta. Okay, there. See. Right. There are some questions. If you have a bird that in appearance does look the same, they have the same appearance. They look the same. However, it has a black nose, a black snout, different than the usual. Is that considered a shinui? Does that make a difference? Does that mean that there is no mesora on it? It's different in that manner. So the poskim deal with these things. And some say that if it's not exact, we can't use it. Others say that as long as you have the simonim, you have the simonim of an oif tahar, and you know that this bird is not a doiris, is not called a doiris, as long as you know that, then this, that there's a small difference in the bird, that has, it's not relevant to the kashrus of the bird. The bird is kosher. It's the same bird. It's not any simon that it perhaps is different. Perhaps it's a bird that's tummy. The turkey is also one of these birds where there's a big dispute. Perhaps you're familiar with that. Whether or not there's a Masorah on the turkey, others claim there is no Masorah on the turkey. I don't want to ruin anybody's dinner today, but there's no turkey here, but I believe. The turkey is supposedly an American bird, although this claim originally came from India. That's why it's called Hoidu, from the land of India. And interestingly, one of a colleague in the office told us his grandfather was a shoychet in Minsk, and he was shoychet there during World War I, when Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Briske, was in Minsk during World War I, and he asked him if it's permitted to use a turkey, to eat a turkey. And he testified that Reb Chaim told him, yes, you can shecht the turkey, you can eat the turkey. It's permitted. He accepted that, and as a Messiah, came from Odom Godel, Odom Choshev, Odom Kosher. It perhaps it was World War I, and people had no food, so perhaps Reb Chaim, we all know, was a big machmer in Pikuach Nefesh. When a person's life was endangered, of course, he was a big machmer. Although he had a dayan, Reb Simcha Zelig, who paskened all the shaylas in Brisk, but when it came to shaylas of Yom Kippur, whether a chayla can eat or not, or shaylas of Bikuch Nefesh, he insisted that he was the one that should pasken. So perhaps he was lenient because it was during the war, and people had no food. He himself had no food. But anyway, I asked by the family, the Soloveitchik family in Eretz Yisrael, and they all use turkey. So they have a Messiah that you can use turkey. So rest be assured, you can use turkey. There is a Messiah from an Odom Kosher. Although there are others who still stay away from it. Since it's a new bird, it's a bird that was supposedly an American bird, others claim, and therefore how could it be a Masoret if in Europe they didn't have that bird, or in other countries. But anyway, that is the it's a Masoret from the Soloveitchik family today. They say there was a Masoret, and I believe we can accept that. One of the problems is how we have to be we have to be very careful in examining these birds to make sure that they're the same breed. As the Gemara says in a number of places, the Gemara in Baba Kama, the Gemara says that Avzo Ubar Avzo is Kloyim. That if you have a goose with a wild goose, so they cannot mate, you can't allow them to mate together if they're yours. That's Kloyim, the Isra of Kloyim. If two different species mating together, there's an Isra. And the Gemara says this on the different types of geese. The wild goose and the regular goose. So even though they have a lot of similarities, but nevertheless, since they are different in a certain way, they're considered completely different species. And there's an Iser of Kloyim, the Gemara says. The Gemara first asked, what is the difference? And the Gemara says, well, we see that one's beak is larger than the other. One's beak is larger than the other one, the Gemara says. So the Gemara asks further, if you say that that in itself is significant, that one bird's beak is larger than the other bird's, and therefore that's the indication that it's a different species, then if so, if you have a Persian camel with an Arabian camel, they should also be considered different breeds. And there should also be the same prohibition of Kloyim, because the necks of those camels are different. One neck is thicker and the other neck is thinner. So the Gemara says, certainly not, that if there's such a small difference between the animals, so that in itself does not render them different breeds. They're still considered the same breed. It's like one person is taller than the other, or one person is heavier than the other. So it's insignificant. Small changes are insignificant. That's what we see from that Gemara. So any small change in the bird or in an animal would not render them different breeds. That in itself is insignificant. However, if there's a noticeable change, which is very noticeable, so that between the different types of animals, so that in itself would render them different. And there would be perhaps an Isa Kloyim. And also, we would not be able to say that we have a Masoira on that. We couldn't have a Masoira on that. If there are a substantial change, any bird that's substantially changed, that the birds that we use, even though there's a claim that perhaps they're the same min, scientifically, nevertheless, we would not be able to use it seems from the Gemara, if it's a substantial change. So we have to check always for those things also. Every day birds come into the slaughterhouses, although they all look the same, but nevertheless somebody has to look at them. The shochet usually is the one that he'll see if there's any substantial change. So he's really the one that's paskening on each individual bird, that this bird is the one that we can use due to the Masoira. We have a Masoira. As I mentioned, we have the two types of birds, which basically that's what I use. They're called today the cob and the Hubbard. The cob birds and the Hubbard birds. That's the ones that are used, basically. Once in a while, they breed them together, to improve them. There's large-breasted birds. Some companies have that. They develop birds which have a lot of breast meat, and that's through breeding them together. But hopefully so far they've only breeded together only the ones that we have in the Seiran. And they were able to develop these birds, which they might have an appearance, they might look a little different because their front is very heavy, but nevertheless we know that the breeding was from different birds that we have in the Seiran. So therefore we can accept them. The old Shoichtim used to say that the European Shoichtim, they say that, especially in America, every day they shecht a lot of chickens. In Europe, they shecht it maybe in a year, what you shecht here in a day, the town Shoichtim. But here, each day, a sheikh shechts a few thousand chickens in many of the larger slaughterhouses. They used to say that that fortifies them in the belief of Tchias HaMeisim. He says they shecht up a couple of thousand chickens on one day. The next morning they come back to work. And lo and behold, the chickens are back. They all look the same. So that's mechazik them in Tchias HaMeisim, they say. So today, Baruch Hashem, they all have the same appearance, they all look the same. Baruch Hashem. I just mentioned what some of the Achreinim say about the turkey, that the reason why we can eat the turkey, even though it seems that there's no Basaira, it's a bird that was native to America, according to others. So there are two reasons, basically, that are given. Brought down the Darki Chuv, I believe. One is that if for an extended period of time, Jewish people as a whole, as a klal, have been eating a certain bird, so one should not come and say, you can't eat this bird because there's no Messiah. Because if you're doing so, you're being Maitzi Laz al Rishonim. You're stating that the previous generations, and there were many Rabbonim, many Gedolim, who also probably partook of this and didn't protest. So you're putting them in disrepute. You're saying that they didn't know what they were doing. And therefore one should not do that. That's one reason that they advance. Another reason is the Arugas HaBoisim, famous tshuva from the Arugas HaBoisim, who says that it seems that they knew about the turkey, even in Europe. He says they knew about the turkey. They had a turkey. Perhaps it came from India. And the turkey roamed around the fields, roamed around the houses, just like the chickens did in those days. And for all the years, for many, many years, that the turkeys were roaming around all the houses, they never saw a turkey bird being a deiris. The turkey has the simonim, has the signs of a kosher bird. But nevertheless, we would still need a Messiah because it's still possible that perhaps that bird is what's called a deiris. There's different opinions what a deiris actually means. So we'll take the simpler definition of a bird that grabs something alive while it's in midair and eats it while it's still alive. It doesn't kill it first. They'll eat it while it's alive. We'll make that this. There's other ways he grabs it with its talon, with its nails, the way it eats it. If it eats it on the floor or it eats it in midair, if it eats it in midair, then it's, even after it's dead, then it's considered a Adairis, that's if it holds it down first with its nails, Barakoponim. We haven't seen that Turkey in all these years should be Adairis. And that is the main problem. That's the main question that one has, whether a bird is kosher. Even if the bird has all the different simonim of Tyra, that it's a kosher bird, nevertheless, if it is a Adairis, called a Adairis, it would disqualify it. Even though it has those other simonim, as the simonim of the gizzard, the nikloff, you can peel it off easily with your hand, the inner peel, that is, of the gizzard, of the kurkavin. That's the kurkavin, that they say from Baruch Be'er. Label, it's the Kamenetz Rosh Yeshiva. Somebody asked them a shaila on the gizzard, on the kurkavin. A woman came in and asked if it's kosher or not. I guess there must have been a nail in there or something. And the question if the nail penetrated through and through. So they showed him this shaila. And they say, he said, oh, that's what the halakha kurkavin is? That's what the Gemara means? That's what this is? Because, you know, you read the Gemara, it says kurkavin, what is it? So I guess he didn't have any practical experience. And at that time, that was the first time he came into any practical experience about this. And so that's what the Gemara means, the halakha kurkavin. The kurkavin is the gizzard, that's one of the simonim. And then also if the bird has a zephek, is another simon. The zephek is the crop. That's what the zephek is. It's right after the veshet, the food pipe, the food goes into the, immediately into, it's stored in the zephek before it goes further to be digested. So if the bird has that, that's another simon. Also if the bird does not spread its feet two toes one way, two toes the other way, but rather three toes for one way, one toe the other way, that would be a kosher, a simon of a kosher bird. Nevertheless, if the bird is, he has all those simonim and it's a dairis, it is still considered a bird that is not kosher. Ain't a tahira. So the question really is, even if you have those simonim, nevertheless, is the bird a dairis, which is very difficult to really determine. Perhaps at this time, the bird was not dairis. You saw the bird, you saw it one day, a second day, a third day, so the bird was not a dairis. But at a different time, perhaps the bird will be a dairis. We don't know what will be in the future. So that's why we require really a mesira. That's the reason. However, Arugas HaBaisam tells us that for so many years, we've never seen that the turkey is a dairis, so therefore, on that, even the Rama would admit that we are not required to have a mesira. And we can rely on that alone. We can rely on the simonim, the simoni tire of the turkey, and we can assume for sure that this turkey, a turkey is not a dairis, and therefore we're permitted to eat it. So you can rest assured, and you can enjoy your dinner today. And with that, I will end my remarks. I'll just say one more thing. There are some ways to tell if a bird is kosher, really. But we can't rely on it. We still have to come on to Masoira. One way you probably hear a little later, somebody here brought a little egg from the original chicken. And an egg, of course, has a special shape to be a kosher egg. It can't be round. It has to be sort of roundish on one side and pointed on the other side. That is a sign of a kosher egg. So we'd normally be able to assume that it comes from a kosher bird. However, we can't rely on that. We still require a mesira. There's an interesting Rashi in Beitza, in the Aflamet Tes, where Rashi is discussing the Gemara that says that the shear of Hitzah for a piece of wood to be over the Iser of carrying out into the Rishus HaRabim from Rishus HaYochanan Shabbos, if you carry out a piece of wood, so what is the amount? How large does this piece of wood have to be? And the Gemara says it has to be large enough that you can cook what's called a bishul kala, something that's easily cooked. If this piece of wood, if you light it and it could burn and it will be able to cook something easily, something that's easily cooked, then that is the shear of Hitzor, to be over the Isa of Hitzor on Shabbos. And Rashi says that is the egg of a chicken. The easiest thing to cook is the egg of a chicken. It cooks quicker than anything else. So if one wants to experiment and cook up all the eggs in the world that you can find, and you'll see that this egg cooks the same as the egg of what we have the Messiah on, so we would be able to assume that that's a kosher egg. That's an egg from a chicken, since it cooks the same amount of time. We'd be able to assume that. Nevertheless, the klal is that we still require Messiah. And with that, I'll give you over to my colleagues.